The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September will help you speak God's Word with boldness and love. It's titled, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040. They say that people's greatest fear, the average person's greatest fear, is public speaking. And that's probably true. I would dare say the average Christian's greatest fear, if it isn't public speaking, is actually opening their mouths and speaking to someone else when it comes to matters pertaining to God's Word. It should come naturally to us. It ought to come naturally to us. We are to let that Word of Christ dwell in us richly, and that means we are admonishing one another, and we are speaking not only the praises of God, but also witnessing, proclaiming what God's Word actually has to say. Why do we freeze up like that? And why is something like listening before we speak very important before we open our mouth to speak God's Word? What if that speaking could cost us our reputation or our livelihood or maybe even our life? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about speaking God's Word. Dr. Ed Grimmenstein joins us. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, previously served as the Associate Executive Director for International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for September, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. Ed, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why is this subject of speaking God's Word to other people face-to-face so important to you?
Well, I think it actually has very personal origins, to be honest. I wasn't raised in the church, never stepped foot in a church as a kid growing up until actually I entered confirmation. And I had to go to church because I had to do sermon notes. So that was the first time I went to church. However, all through my life as a kid, I would get dropped off sometimes to Sunday school. And every summer, my church, Redeemer Lutheran in Oakmont, would have vacation Bible school. So I had heard the gospel first from Sunday school teachers. So that's why I say it's very personal. And I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
Why do you begin with this concept of God's Word creating and then ordering the world?
You know, when we look at the end result of lay people speaking law and gospel to others, I think we have to get back to the origin of why that's even important in the first place. So I started the book off with creation, because we know and believe that all of creation was brought into existence by God speaking. And through then the devil's speaking, he brought disorder and chaos into creation. And now through Christ, he reorders this fallen world and especially the fallen people in this fallen world. And he does that through his word. So I think it's vitally important for us as Christians to understand the power of God's word. It not only created all reality in the beginning, but God's word is recreating people in his own image right now. It is creation happening all over again, and it happens when normal, everyday people speak law and gospel with each other.
Describe the vital distinction between law and gospel in God's Word.
You know, what I love is our catechism does such a good job of delineating that distinction between law and gospel. Ultimately, in the book, you can talk about the catechism, curb, mirror, rule, and I do address that in the book. But ultimately, all three of those have an end result. The law always makes us conscious of our sin, aware of our sin, in the hopes that then we are thrust into the arms of our Savior. whom we hear in the gospel and meet Christ through that wonderfully foreign word to this fallen world, that he came and saved us through his crucifixion and resurrection. So I think it's always important for us to understand that distinction, and we play around with both of those in the book, if I may say that, kind of pursuing whether you speak law in a certain instant or gospel. Try to have people tease that out and think about that a bit, because I think that's often a slip-up that we have.
You say that speaking law and gospel is a little bit like being a doctor. What do you mean by that?
So in the book, I talk about a person going to see a doctor and they're not feeling well. And you have a great example of a doctor who really listens, spends time, doesn't rush to conclusions. And then you have the opposite example I give of a doctor who comes in, doesn't even look you in the eye, just types a few things on a computer and gives you the wrong thing when you walk out of the doctor's office. We as Lutherans, we need to be like doctors. So often, I think, and this is one of those mishaps with anyone in speaking law or gospel to others, we rush to conclusions. We think we already know what the situation is. And a lot of times, some Christians, I swear, it's like they carry around a Bible quote in their back pocket. They just want to whip out and shoot any chance they get. And meanwhile, it might be the totally wrong Bible verse to even bring up. That's why we have to be like doctors. We have to listen, and not just listen. We actually have to absorb where people are, understand where they are, what they're wrestling with, what their needs are. And then hopefully to properly discern whether it's a moment where we need to speak law or gospel. And we can only achieve that by truly listening and taking the time to listen to people.
Why do we need to remember that it is God's word we're speaking here and not our own?
I think when lay people are speaking with one another and sharing God's word with each other, they often take it quite personally and feel that this word they're going to speak is theirs. There's a lot of fear connected with it, trepidation, and even speaking to begin with. I think it's very healthy for all people, especially lay people, to realize that when you are sharing God's word with someone, that's not your word. It doesn't belong to you. It's God's word. And you are simply the one who's sharing it and speaking it. And as we Lutherans teach, God works through his word and sacraments, and ultimately, God will be the one who decides what God wants to do with that word and that person. We are simply the ones speaking it. So I think it's a very healthy thing for all Christians, and especially all lay people, to realize that this word you speak, God's word, it's outside of you. It doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. You don't own it. It has its own creative and recreative abilities, and it is God who uses and works through that word. And I think that can be incredibly freeing for lay people who have at times many fears and worries and concerns in speaking God's word. I think it's very helpful for them to understand this isn't yours. It doesn't belong to you. You're simply the one speaking it.
So explain the basic difference between law and gospel.
You know, ultimately, the law always shows us our sin. Whether it's curb, mirror, or rule, each of them have different facets of bringing sin out in our lives. But ultimately, the law should crush us. It should show us that we have failed. It should throw us into the arms of Christ, who alone brings a good news, a good word, that we are saved by grace, not by our own efforts, not by our works, that all of the miseries we've gone through in this life are brought to healing through him and him alone, that he's our only hope. And that's the whole purpose of the law, to crush us, to throw us down, and to shatter any false concepts or precepts we have about ourselves and our own goodness and our own righteousness. It's to break us and to throw us into the arms of Christ. And that's something I hope to achieve throughout the book, that we tease that out, we explore that, and especially in some of the later chapters, chapters 7 and 8, we go through some very, very sad examples, I have to admit, ones in which we see law working in people's lives, and then we actually see good lay people come with that sweet gospel and see how it interacts and how it can work rightly in this world.
Dr. Ed Grimenstein is our guest. We're talking about speaking God's word. Why do we fear to speak it to others? We'll answer that question next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with judging others, ask, and it will be given, the golden rule in the narrow gate, false prophets, and hearing and doing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I'm afraid of death. Do I have enough faith to die? Will it be painful to die? What about deathbed conversions? Does God really forgive me if I've lived my whole life not as a Christian? These and many other questions are answered in the September issue of the Lutheran Witness, The Ars Moriendi, The Art of Dying Well. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Ed Grimenstein, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day, about speaking God's Word. So, Ed, why do we fear to speak God's Word to others?
I think there's a lot of reasons why we're scared to do so. In the book, I actually use the example of Moses during the Exodus. And normally when we're learning about the Exodus and reading about it, we think about the 10 plagues, we think about the Red Sea parting. But before all of this even occurred, when Moses was sent by God to speak to the Israelites, he spoke three or four times with God and tried to get out of it. Moses said a couple times that he was afraid, he wasn't up to the task. Moses said that he didn't know enough to speak. Moses was afraid he would be rejected by the people when he did speak. And finally, Moses just told God he didn't feel like he was eloquent enough to be a speaker. So my heart goes out to all people who, as they speak God's word, because I think we all feel like Moses at times. We are afraid we're not up to the task. A lot of times Christians will say, I don't know enough about the Bible to speak. A lot of people are worried that they will be rejected, especially if it's with family or friends. And then finally, we're like Moses. We just don't feel like we're eloquent enough. And we basically say, please send someone else, just anyone but me.
You talk about making the speaking of God's law and gospel an everyday habit in our lives. What does that look like? What are you talking about?
So when we think about it every day, I think of the very just everyday activities that go on. And I mentioned this a couple times in the book, of people when they're in the car and they're coming back from school. Are you talking things of the church in those times and those opportunities, whether it's with kids? When you're out with a friend having a drink, You know, do you ever talk about matters of faith, especially with people who you know are Christian or especially who you don't know are Christian? You know, are you talking about that? I run across some of my homebound members who live in residential homes who are in wheelchairs, and they'll pull their wheelchair up to someone else in a wheelchair and they start having discussions, matters of faith. I think we have hundreds of opportunities during the day. When we're on the bus, when we're on the train, when we're just talking to a friend, when we're on social media, in which there are opportunities for us to engage with one another, with God's word, in good and right and wonderful ways. And I don't think we think of those opportunities. I don't think we realize those are before us. And I think it's especially sad when we are in the church and we don't realize those opportunities we have with one another, even in the church, to share our lives with each other, to share God's word with each other.
You talk about a uniquely Christian form of speech. What is that?
So one chapter is devoted to a uniquely Christian speaking, and I define what that is. I think if you want to look at the content of it, it's the fact that we are speaking law and gospel to one another. That is not a normal thing to do in this world. When it comes to this fallen world does not care about God's law, and it certainly doesn't care about God's gospel. This fallen world has its own forms of law and gospel. But we as Christians, especially as Lutherans, understand God's law and God's gospel. So when that flavors our conversations with one another, we can truly say it is a unique form of Christian speaking. But I also, in the book, talk about this speaking as being a divine activity. Because when we think about it, when we are speaking law and gospel, Jesus Christ is working through that word. And as we share that word with one another, Christ himself is present. Christ himself is active, and Christ himself is moving through that word. So I would even go so far as to say, when we are speaking law and gospel with one another, it is a divine activity, one in which Christ himself is coming. I would say it's more akin to a sacrament, truly, because we Lutherans believe God comes through his word and his sacrament. So imagine you're talking with someone and you're speaking law and gospel with one another. It's a baptism. Imagine speaking law and gospel with one another. It's like having Holy Communion because it's God's word. And when God's word is faithfully and rightly spoken, Jesus Christ himself is present and Jesus Christ himself is active and doing things in people's lives.
What are the challenges of giving our undivided attention to someone else when there's an opportunity in our lives, our everyday lives, to speak that word of God?
I think especially nowadays with social media and the many numerous distractions we have, that we do not devote ourselves to one another. I did marriage counseling very often when I was a chaplain in the U.S. Army. And it's amazing to see even husbands and wives, they neglect one another. Even in good Christian homes, they fail to recognize that the time they give to each other, the amount of time, literally, is a precious commodity. It's a wonderful offering. I think parents can also think about this with their children. A child doesn't want you to send them a text message and say, I love you, a four-year-old. A four-year-old wants to crawl up on your lap, have you put your phone down, and open up a picture book and read with them. It's an investment of time. And in the book, I speak about this type of investment of oneself as being a form of incarnation. You know, when we think of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh in this world, he didn't just send off a quick email or a text message. He came into our world, came into our lives, took on our flesh, took on our sins, took on our suffering, put it to death and rose again. He took time with us. And I think we as Christians, that should be an element of our communication with one another. That when you're speaking with someone, you're not multitasking on your phone or checking the latest news feed or looking at the TV up on the wall. You're looking eye to eye, heart to heart. You are showing that person you are willing to sacrifice a piece of yourself, your time for them because they're important. Because after all, didn't Jesus Christ himself sacrifice his time and his very life for all of us?
Dr. Ed Grimmenstein is our guest. We're talking about speaking God's word on this Wednesday, September the 9th. On the other side of the break, how is the incarnation an apt analogy? We don't want to go too far with that, but carefully proceeding, an apt analogy for what happens when we speak God's word to someone else. We'll answer that question next.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September will help you speak God's Word with boldness and love. It's titled, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about speaking boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about speaking God's word. Dr. Ed Grimmenstein is our guest. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Pastor Ted Geese about new Oscar eligibility standards for Best Picture. Ed, how is the incarnation an apt analogy for what happens when we speak God's word?
Well, I think back to Martin Luther when he spoke about the Virgin Mary becoming pregnant with the Christ. He spoke of it in terms, and it's wonderful how he said it, that the Virgin Mary became pregnant through her ear as she heard the word of God and believed. Now, that's certainly not a normal way in which a baby is created, but I think it's right on, spot on. That when that proclamation, that word was given to Mary, God knew that word and became incarnate within her. I think also it is very similar to nowadays when one Christian speaks the gospel to someone who's never heard the gospel. That word comes into them, becomes incarnate within them as they believe, and the Holy Spirit comes through that word. And Christ himself is formed within that person. It happens through the speaking of God's word. Scripture says that. We Lutherans definitely teach it, and we believe it. That God's word is one of those vessels, vehicles, that Jesus Christ himself comes into us, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and creates a temple within us. So I think it's a very apt analogy for us to consider that we become pregnant, in a sense, with the Christ through hearing the word. We, of course, don't become pregnant in the same way that the Virgin Mary did, but there is quite a similarity, I believe.
There's a parable that is told by Jesus. We call it the parable of the sower. But you say it's really all about what is happening when the word of God is being spoken. Take us through that in some detail, if you would, Ed.
Yeah, the parable of the sower actually comprises two whole chapters in the book. And I have to admit, I take a little bit of liberty with it. So for instance, in the parable of the sower that Jesus tells in Luke, you have seed, word of God, that's sown on the path, and that Satan takes that seed away. You have word of God sown on rocks, and that through a time of testing, it rips that word out of people. And then you also have the word of God that's cast among thorns, and the cares of this world will choke it out. Now, in the parable that Jesus tells then he speaks of good soil, and that's where a crop is developed. I take some liberty with the parable in this respect. The parable remains as it is. Those first three, there is no beneficial crop from it. However, what I note in the book is that the word of God still came to those people, because we're talking about people here. We're not talking about paths and rocks and thorns. We're talking about real life people. And in the very next chapter, I basically say, what would happen if there was good soil injected into that situation? Meaning, someone came with a sweet gospel and helped those three people so that Satan doesn't take that word away, so that persecution doesn't dry up that word, and so that the cares of this world don't have the opportunity to steal that precious word away, but that in all those situations, the word of God actually does become fruitful and does actually multiply. And the reason I chose that parable is because it shows in very real life situations how God's people can speak God's word into those situations and possibly see wonderful change. And I think we, as people who are speaking God's word, we need to envision that. We need to see what it could look like. And I admit, it might not come out in a positive way, but it's good for us to envision it and see that it can.
What should we expect the world's response to be when we open our mouths to speak God's word?
You know, when it comes to the world itself, if we speak of the world as the unbelieving world, it's always going to be rejection. But in the same sense, within this unbelieving world are people who have been elected by God for salvation, and they need to hear that word of God so they also might have the opportunity to believe, and by believing have eternal life itself. So I think we as Christians, as Lutherans, when we're getting ready to speak that word, we need to understand that it may not go well in the sense that it may not go in the way that you wanted it to go, but it might. And I think also we need to realize, and this comes up in Ezekiel chapter 3, that we're called upon as Christians to speak God's word. Let God and the people who receive that word deal with the effects of it. It's not our job to deal with that or to worry about that. Unleash God's word. Let God and God's word and those people, let it happen amongst them. We can just sow it. We can just speak it. Allow God to do the work.
Sometimes speaking God's word can literally endanger your life. Talk about that possibility.
Yes, I think it's very common in many, many ways throughout the world to see people face very severe forms of persecution for even becoming a Christian or hearing God's word or speaking God's word. We do not face that to a great extent in the United States, although I believe that our somewhat more national views of Christianity are slowly waning in this country. And I believe in the decades to come, Christians in this country will face more ridicule. Throughout the world, though, there are instances to this day in which Christians are being martyred. We're aware of that. And that is a very challenging instant that we are all placed in. I often will remind my own members of my congregation the pledge that they made in their confirmation. They're asked two times during their confirmation vows, are you willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this word? And they are to respond, yes, by the grace of God, I will. And I think we always need to be prepared for that, that could come. It might not come here in this country. We never know. It comes in big ways, comes in small ways. And it's coming in other parts of the world. One other thing I also will often mention to my own congregation is this. Dying is easy. living is hard. When we die as a Christian in the faith, if we are to be martyred because of that, that is over generally fast. If you are shot, if you are beheaded, it's over relatively soon. When we live as a Christian in this world, though, we live lives in which we are daily having our flesh crucified, and that is painful. It's not pleasant. And yet in the same sense, every day, we are rising to live a new life in Christ through that baptism he gave to us, a new life in him, a life of faith that will never end, not even with death. But that living, that life of faith, is much harder than dying, because it goes on for decades, and there will be challenges, and there will be trials, and many temptations. So I always try to have my people realize dying is easy. It's living that's hard, and Christ has called us to live. So we live by faith in him.
What final encouragement would you give to someone who fears to speak up when there is an opportunity to speak God's word?
One of the big things I mention in this book is to, and encouragement I should say that I give, is that people realize this is not about you. Very often when we are going to speak the law or the gospel with someone, we get all worried. We get flustered. We start thinking about ourselves. Am I going to be rejected? Am I going to say the right word? Is this going to come out right? Stop thinking about yourself. I will say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. This word does not belong to you. This word belongs to God. And I will even go so far as to say, you have no right to try to take control of this word and to corral it in the way you want or don't want, or you think it should go or should not go. I have a whole chapter on this where I encourage people to stop thinking about themselves. We actually get very selfish and possessive of God's word as if it belongs to us. Keep in mind, it doesn't belong to us. This is God's word, and God is going to act through this word in the way that God wants to do it. We're simply the ones speaking it. And I hope that that objectifying of the word, of basically understanding and believing that this word is outside of us, we're not owners of it, that that's very freeing to people as they consider speaking law and gospel. I think it's a great help for them to have that understanding. And because when you're freed up and less worried about that, I think you're going to be able to discern what word you should be speaking, whether it's law or gospel in that moment.
Ed Gremenstein is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. He previously served as the Associate Executive Director for International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. You can find out about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ed, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Pastor Ted Geese joins us on the other side of the break. There are new Oscar eligibility standards for Best Picture. They look a lot like quotas. We'll talk about that next.
Ars Moriendi, the art of dying well. If death is the punishment for sin, then how does one die well? Well, that's the question we ask and answer in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness. We ask and answer the most common questions, fears, and doubts faced by Lutherans and Christians as they approach death. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Sanctifying your housework with the Word of God, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.